Morning, everyone. You can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. That's a phrase that we've most probably heard, and one that we're all likely to be all too aware of this Christmas. I mean, I'm sure that we all have certain people in our families who, you know, have a few too many brandies, tell an inappropriate joke, and embarrass everyone. And you know what they say, if you can't think of that person, then it might be you. Now, you might not choose for Uncle Trevor to trip over the Christmas lights and pull down the tree, but a little family disaster is kind of tradition for Christmas, isn't it? You know, it's not ideal, but it's kind of funny, and when you think about it, isn't that what family is all about? But what if your family really is a disaster? Or if you grew up in a home without love, or a twisted kind of love? And maybe for you, Christmas is not a joyful time for family, because it just reminds you what a dysfunctional, painful family you come from. So while everyone else is having the best day ever, you're there sitting thinking, this isn't how it was supposed to be. I didn't choose this. Who would? Who would choose this? And why is it like this in the first place? We find the answers to these questions in the Christmas story. The story of God becoming man. Jesus is there to say, brother, that's a lie. Sister, don't listen to him. All that judgment fell on me and has been fully dealt with. You need not fear. In Jesus, we are rescued from all our enemies, sin, death, and the devil. Our big brother fully rescues us. And thirdly, and finally, our big brother graciously identifies with us. In other words, our big brother knows what it's like. And that makes for him two things. And the first is a merciful brother. So I remember the first Christmas that I realized Santa was not real. It made going back to university so hard that January. Those of you with kids or younger siblings will know the difficulty of trying to keep the magic alive when you know it's untrue. So there's a 7 and a 9 year gap between me and my sisters. So there were plenty of Christmases where I had to play along. And sometimes I was happy to. Sometimes I just wanted to tell them it was stupid and for them to grow up. Conveniently though, I'd forget that I'd been just the same. Similarly, to use another example from my family, I was in when Megan moved up into high school, I was in my final year of school, sort of looking ahead to university. And I remember hearing all about how hard the classes were, how much homework there was, how harsh the teachers were, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, and I'll be honest, sometimes said, you think it's hard now? You just wait. That's nothing compared to what I have to go through. There's a self-righteousness in that response that seems to conveniently forget that I too found all those same things hard at the time. I too struggled. And that's what Jesus says every time you feel life overwhelm you and every time you repent after messing up again. I too struggled. Don't hear me wrong, Jesus never sinned, tempted in every way, yet was without sin, it says here in Hebrews 4. But then you don't have to mess up in a situation to be able to empathize with someone, do you? If you found it hard, then that should be enough for you to show grace to that person when they find it hard. I mess up lots, and so I really need a high priest who is merciful. Now, he never sinned when he was tempted, so he could quite rightly get frustrated with me. Oh, seriously, Ben, just pack it in, will you? Like, I got through it okay. Why can't you? But then that's not his relationship with me. He too struggled and knew how hard the pull of a fallen nature is to fight. And as we see in verse 17, because he was fully one of us, because he's lived as one of us, he knows. He knows what it's like. God is merciful because God is love, but how much more comfort can we take knowing that that mercy has in it a knowledge, a personal knowledge of what it's like to be us? And if the knowledge of Jesus' mercy on our weakness is one comfort, then there's the comfort of his help in our weakness. So Jesus is also an empathetic brother. Verse 18 says, because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. He's able to help us in the middle of our temptation. Why? Well, because he knows what it's like. And we saw this morning that in Beth's talk that Jesus has been through it all. But how can that be? Surely there are some things that Jesus couldn't have experienced, aren't there? Simply by fact of being a man. How could he have experienced everything? And the simple answer is, well, he didn't. He was a man. And so he didn't experience the things that a woman experiences. And so Jesus was limited in a way, but as we saw again this morning, throughout his life, he did experience every kind of trial and temptation within those trials. So to name but a few, grief, family disunity, slander, abuse, betrayal, chaotic life, exhaustion, and then within that, temptations to doubt his identity, his self-worth, to doubt God's love for him, temptations to hide, to give in. Not in every single thing, but in every single way. God, the person of Jesus, God the brother, has been through it all. He knows what it's like. Have you ever said to yourself, no one will ever understand what I'm going through? Or no one will ever listen to what I struggle with without judging me? Your big brother Jesus does both. He understands with an experienced heart, and he listens with a merciful ear. Our big brother knows what it's like, and so he graciously identifies with us. Ask people what Christmas is all about, and family will probably be high up there. We get up close and personal to our family at Christmas, and frictions can sometimes cause sparks to fly or eyes to be rolled. Are you embarrassed by your family? I imagine we all have been at some point, and we may well be again over the holidays. Embarrassed is just a slightly less harsh way of saying ashamed, which is the word that's used in this passage. Here it has the meaning of being appropriately or fittingly ashamed or dishonored because of wrongly identifying with someone. Think like an athlete being a sportswear sponsor, only then to be caught up in a drug scandal. It doesn't reflect very well on the sports brand. And likewise, a family name once tainted is very difficult to escape, no matter how much you might want to disassociate from them. Now, if there was any family that someone would have every right to want to disassociate from through being massively ashamed, wouldn't it be God's family? Never mind the things that drive us nuts about each other over Christmas. What about your own life? If there was a film of my life playing behind me, I'd die of shame. And I suspect the same would be the case of each of you. Jesus is the only one who could play out every detail of his life for all to see and then still look everyone in the eye. None of us could, and yet he is not ashamed to associate with us, not ashamed to identify with us, not ashamed, it says in verse 11, to call us sisters and brothers. And this is no polite annual kind of visit. Jesus is not just for Christmas. There's no, oh, I've done my bit now. They're in the family. I can wash my hands and kick back in heaven. No, this big brother is up close and personal. He perfectly leads us in life. He fully rescues us from our enemies. And he graciously identifies with us in our weakness. He really is the brother like no other. Verse 12 also says that he stands in our midst and sings praises to God. Jesus, God the brother, leading our worship. In amongst his brothers and sisters with messy hands, that's where he wants to be. That's where he wants to be. And that's why Christmas is so amazing. None of this had to be, nor does it need to be. All of it is down to God's grace, seen most clearly in the humbling of God himself, God the eternal Son, who for our sakes is now also forevermore God the brother. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, you didn't have to come to earth. You could quite rightly have judged us and left us to our own mess. But you didn't. You came and you got messy. Lord, thank you that you are a brother who is not ashamed of us, who welcomes us into your family. Lord, thank you that you have saved us. Thank you that you stand amongst us. Lord, I pray that this Christmas and beyond, we would grow in our love for you and grow in our relationship with you as brothers and sisters. And I pray that that would be such an attractive thing. And for those who don't yet share that relationship with you, Lord, I pray that they would see the attractiveness of being in your family. And we pray that this Christmas we can really show the love of the family of light that we are a part of. Lord Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen.